Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk podcast, brought to you by our Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm Charlie Romeliotis, joined by Scott Powers of The Athletic this week for a special prospect camp edition. Scott, how's it going?
Good, Charlie.
Thanks for having me. Pat's out for the week, enjoying some much-needed family time. So what better way to get the prospect camp kicked off with Scott? So, but let's start off with Stan Bowman's comments from earlier in the week. It was the first time he was addressing the Marian Hossa deal and what they could do with the newfound cap space. What was your biggest takeaway out of that 20-minute interview?
I don't think there's a whole lot to take away. I think he's going to look for a trade. He just can't commit to saying that, you know. There's a possibility nothing happens. I think what's difficult about this situation is the Blackhawks actually have cap space. But they probably missed the window to utilize it because they wanted to use it on July 1st. And now to get anyone, the free agent market's pretty slim. To get anyone, you have to acquire them. And to acquire somebody, you got to trade assets. And right now the Blackhawks, the assets that they have are probably guys they don't want to give up, you know, DeBrincat and Schmaltz and certainly the veterans and the guys that they would like to give up, I don't think other teams are looking for, especially in return for guys like Justin Falk or Pacioretty or the guys that, you know, that we've all heard the rumors about. I think they have to either give up draft picks, and that's why I also think they sort of missed the window with the draft too, whereas you had two first round picks, and before you use those picks, those are pretty sought after assets. So the fact that you didn't make the trade before the trade deadline, before the free agency July 1st, and then the fact that you didn't trade a draft pick, you sort of missed two major windows to get, to utilize any space you have. So I think it's hard for Bowman to say anything right now. I think it's, I think he's going to continue to search. And like you said, as the arbitration hearings occur and people start getting the training camp and kind of feeling out the rosters more, maybe the market opens up. But I think there's a good chance the Hawks stand pat, or I'd even look at some of the free agents that are left on the table, like a Nash or someone, and maybe you overpay for 1 year. Because if you have $6 or $7 million in cap space, you just don't want to waste it. So
right, I feel like it took them this long to get the Hossa deal done because they didn't want to give up like a Hinostroza in the deal, but they ended up getting him. Or they ended up getting rid of him anyway. So it's definitely a missed opportunity because you had at the NHL draft, you could have had the picks. You could have traded it before the before the free agency and try to go after a big fish or whatever.
Because all the talk was that the Blackhawks are going to be aggressive, and you had all the NHL insiders saying that, right, look for the Blackhawks to be aggressive and these, the big time buyers, and they really couldn't until they traded Hossa's deal. Because if you don't trade Hossa, then you can't do that. It's not like you can pay a Jamie Van Riemsdyk or whomever. So I think all those discussions, they said they're interested in, and certainly all those agents have said that, Blackhawks called. But I think the conversations were pretty short because it was like, well, we want this much. And the Blackhawks were like, well, we don't have that much, you know.
And the problem with including in a Hinostroza in the deal is you've lost. He's the kind of player that I thought you would be able to give up in a bigger deal. Like if you want to go get a Justin Falk or whoever, you would have to include a younger player. Now they don't have any. I don't know how you can subtract from the current roster right now and get better. Like you need to go into your pipeline, and I don't think they're willing to do that. Well, they might be, but they got four of these top prospects like Boquist and Joki Haru and Bodan and all these, Ian Mitchell. I don't think they want to part ways with them. I think they want to develop them before they, before they even think about moving.
And it's hard for other teams, I think, to acquire those guys because you sort of have an idea what they are, but it's not until they become really good players that they become even more valuable. I think at the draft they're most valuable because everyone overvalues draft picks, and then after you draft them, they decrease in value. Yeah. And then if they develop, then the value is back again. But I think Yoki Haru, I mean, you just drafted all these guys in the first and second round, and they've obviously put a focus on the defense. And I think at some point, I think the Blackhawks are going to have to trade some of these guys, because you even look at Rockford now. There's 10 defensemen that are going into Rockford this year. And, you look at Forsling. Where's he fit in? And you sign all these new guys. And then next year, I think Beaudin will turn pro, and you got Boquist, and I think Chad Chris will turn pro. And I think Chad Chris has a chance still, too. So at some point, you can't have 25 defensemen. And hopefully, the Blackhawks are hopeful that some of these guys turn out to be really good. And they become assets, but I think it's too early, and you obviously don't want to trade Boquist or any of those guys now.
Right, I agree, and I think it was the Panarin situation in Columbus. Like, there was apparently they got offered a big deal, but there was no roster players. It was a big pipeline deal, and Columbus said, "Well, we don't want it," and I imagine that's how Carolina is going to be too. Like, they just acquired Dougie Hamilton. They acquired these NHL-ready guys. They drafted Svechnikov. Looks like they want to compete. So I don't see them wanting to trade Justin Falk and just go for prospects.
Right,
like,
yeah.
They're going to want a Brandon Saad or a Schmaltz or DeBrincat, and the Hawks are not going to want to part ways with them.
Yeah.
Like,
so, at what point does that... Yeah, because at this point, like you said, if you take away any of those guys, you become a worse team.
Well, even if you take away Anisimov, he's a guy that I thought it would be expendable, but... You got rid of Hinostroza,
I don't know how many top nine forwards you have anymore.
Exactly.
In the system, even. Anisimov seemed expendable because you had some more known commodities like Hinostroza, but now you're just relying on, I think Sakura can be really good, but who knows if he doesn't need to go down to the American League.
Yeah. It was a small sample size.
Or Aitzel. I mean, there's no... Aitzel's skating still suspect, he had a really good time in Rockford, but there's no chance that, or even Hayden. I mean, Hayden spent part of the year in Rockford.
Right.
All these guys you have penciled in the NHL, guys that even contribute, it seems like a risk. There's no definitive, and the Blackhawks in the past have been, you knew going into the year that these guys are good and they'll succeed even if this doesn't work out, and now you're banking on Saad bouncing back and Taves being himself and Duncan Keith and Seabrook, all these guys bouncing back, and then Schmaltz and DeBrincat taking the next step. It's all these ifs, and I think in the past the Blackhawks, and then the Corey Crawford. I mean, you have all these ifs, and it seems like there's too many.
Yeah, and with the prospects itself, it's hard because you're breaking them all in at the same time. That's why I didn't have a problem with them not re-signing Duclair for whatever price, is because you have so many guys that let's see what we have with him, let's see. And it's that was last year. You need to know what you have with these guys going forward. And, some of these prospects that we're getting a look at here this week, they're not going to be ready by the time this veteran core group is still in their prime, so it's a balance.
Well, the question is if some of these guys are already beyond their prime, right? These guys in their 30s. I think Boquist can be in the NHL next year. I think Yoki Haru, the Hawks may fight it just because there's no spot for him, but I think Yoki Haru could play in the NHL potentially at the beginning of the season, if he looks good out here, and that's one thing, and he's playing against other young kids, but if he can skate and he can any way contribute in the power play, that's more than most of your right-handed shots on the roster now. And I think Ruda and Seabrook and Murphy can all, they're obviously all NHL players and they all fit roles, but none of them are exactly great skaters, so I think the fact that Yoki Haru fits a certain role as a right-handed defenseman, I think he's going to make it hard for the Blackhawks to say no. And, I'm curious to see what happens because, again, it's him and prospect camp playing well. But if he continues to do this in Traverse City, then training camp and preseason, I think the Blackhawks are going to have to make a tough decision whether he's good enough to play in the NHL now.
Yeah, and even if he does decide, or even if the Blackhawks do want him to play in the NHL, how long is his leash going to be with Joel Quenneville? Because he's a puck mover. He's got offensive ability, and Stan even said it on Tuesday. He said, Yoki Haru, he's got all the ability in the world on offense, but it's going to be adjusting to the physicality and being on, defending NHL-level players. So it's not like he's going to come in and eat 20 minutes a game. Like, he might have to be sheltered for a while, and then how much does that hamper his development, you know? So, but at the same time, he might be one of the best six guys out there.
It's all relative, right? Like, it's if this was the Blackhawks team of 2 or 3 years ago, you shelter him. Now it's, I feel like a lot of these guys have to be sheltered, you know. I still don't know if there's a guy in the roster who can play with Duncan Keith. And I thought Jordan Oesterle was the best at it last season. Oesterle's gone, and he was playing his offside. And now who plays on that right side that can keep up with Keith? And
right now it's Murphy.
And that didn't work out well. Last year. I don't think Murphy's old enough where certainly he can take some strides, but I don't think his game's about to evolve a whole lot. I don't think he's going to become this great skater. He does certain things well, and he improves in certain areas, but I don't think he's a top-pairing guy with Keith.
Right. So Stan said if there were to be moves made, that it's probably going to happen closer to training camp. Pat and I have been doing this podcast for a while now, and a few weeks back I said, I think this is going to be the roster that they're going into the season with. I figured that they were going to trade the Hossa contract. I didn't think they'd have to give up Hinostroza to do it. So it kind of changes the fact that it's still, the Hawks still showed urgency by making that deal when they did, because it seems to me like they want to explore more options before the season starts. I just don't know if it's realistic. So I want to get
what's your lineup right now? What would you, like, I tried to write so this
out.
Top line, Saad, Tate,
Sakura.
Yeah, and then, I agree with that.
Second line, I would go DeBrincat, Schmaltz, Kane, but
I don't think you have to now. Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to go. I don't know if Quinville's going to want to go.
But
with
the problem is that now that you give it to Hinostroza, you've taken away. So I did those two lines, and then the third line was, I think, Adsel and Nisimov, and Highmore or someone. It's like you need someone else who can handle the puck, because the problem is Adsel is not exactly a puck-moving guy, and Nisimov isn't. And so it made sense for, like, Secure and DeBrincat to play in that line, but I think eliminating Hinostroza, it's... Yeah, it changes a lot of things. I mean, Vinny's a nice player, and he wasn't going to change what this team was going to do, but he fit in. Like, it made the top nine forwards puzzle, I think, a lot easier to put together. Now, now that you have Marcus Kruger, what does that mean for David Kampf, Luke Johnson, guys that are? I also thought this whole trading Hinostroza and not signing Declare, and I agree with you on Declare stuff, but it took away from what Stan Bowman was saying, that when they traded for Declares, they want to get younger, and all these guys under 24, and all of a sudden you bring back Declare, or you bring back Kruger, and you sign Kunitz and Manning, and you replace Ward, Forsberg with Ward, and all of a sudden you're a lot older again.
I think they're like the top five oldest teams, like, again.
That's like the opposite of what he was trying to achieve at one point.
Yeah, I mean, it's
what
hard.
What would your defensive pairings be?
Well, I don't know. So I think there might be a trade from now until training camp, but I don't think it's going to be a major trade. I think it's just going to be because I think it's going to be on defense.
But you have to take away a defenseman to add a defenseman, right?
Right. I mean, here's my thing. I think if they're going to make a move from now until training camp, I think it's going to be a free agent signing. Like, I think it's going to be going to get a Rick Nash and sign him to a 1 year. But the problem is, because they have all the cap space in the world. And I think they have more cap space than maybe they think long term. Like, Stan always says, like, oh, DeBrincat and Schmaltz, we want to sit. That was a problem with Hossa's contract because they weren't. Now that, like, that's not going
to
be a problem at all.
I agree too.
You know,
so. Because DeBrincat's still 2 years away, too.
DeBrincat's still 2 years away, and the cap is going to go up.
Right,
it's going to keep going up.
Yeah,
that's
not
going to be an
issue.
And I can, you know, Anisimov's contract is going to end. Like, Corey Crawford's contract is, they're going to have room to make. So I think that they will. The problem with the Rick Nash thing is he's contemplating retiring. So,
right,
like,
how much
motivation does he have playing up? I think what might happen there is he might just sit out the first month of the season or whatever and then just hop on a team. I don't know if that's an option the Blackhawks want to explore, but I don't see a major move happening from now until the training camp. And I don't know how you roll back that same roster because, like we said, there are a lot of ifs.
Like, I don't know if they've... Like, again, it's all about Crawford, right? But have they... Did you get worse this offseason? I mean, you traded Hinostroza. I mean, Manning, Ward, and Kunitz? I don't know.
It would be easier to tell if we got a full season of Crawford.
Yeah.
Week
of Crawford.
Yeah, full... yeah. But yeah, I don't know. So okay, let's transition. So actually, wait, from now until September, because I said, do you think a major move happens?
Yeah, I don't know how it happens.
I think the Blackhawks. I just don't know how.
I think I trade like 5 first round draft picks. You know, like at this point, I just think the Blackhawks need to be aggressive, and they haven't been that this offseason, so I don't know if that changes. But why not put an offer sheet, or why not do something? Just because on paper right now, Tave said yesterday. Yeah, I wasn't there, but you were there, and he said maybe we. But did he say back our way into the playoffs or something?
Yeah, well, he said it was actually my question. I said, you know, does watching Vegas and the Capitals, you know, is it a good reminder that all you need to do is just get in and then anything can happen? He said, yeah. You know, he's like, it doesn't matter how we – he was basically saying it doesn't matter how we get in. As long as we get in, you know, then anything can happen.
But I don't know if they – like, I mean, I look at what St. Louis did, right, and now. I looked at – I mean, you look at the Central, and Winnipeg and Nashville haven't changed a whole lot, but they're going to be really good still. You look what St. Louis did, and Colorado added, and Dallas. I don't even know what Dallas did, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, you look at the division still. It's
Sagan's in a contract year, I think. So they're going to explode. Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know. They should, in theory, they should do something. Like I thought they were going to move the Hossa deal, like when training camp rolled around. You know,
or
I thought teams, you know. Like a team like Ottawa, they might trade Erik Karlsson. If they trade him, like,
well, then they need them. Yeah,
then they need it.
Maybe they should have waited out.
Right,
then,
exactly, right? Exactly. So, all right, let's get to actually
what we're supposed to talk
about.
Yeah,
right. Let's get to the prospects. I know this is our fourth day here. I know we've just been watching for the most part drills, and we got a little bit of 3-on-3 action yesterday. What are your thoughts generally seeing Boqvist and Beaudin for the first time? Obviously, we'll get to Joki Haru in a second here, but we're going to get a better feel for tomorrow when we see them in scrimmages, but early impressions on those.
Yeah, even this, I think there's things to take away from this week. I think you look at skating and you look at, you know, size and strength and some of those things. But even tomorrow, it's guys have been on the ice for four consecutive days and long days. And, you know, I think of last year, DeBrincat was, like, average, and, you know, it wasn't a good week for him at development camp. So, I think everything has to be measured this week. But it's a first look at Boqvist, and he certainly can skate and get up and down the ice, and he's fast. And I think Beaudin, you know, I hear about his hockey IQ, so you're curious. I think I'll be, you know, curious to see him in different settings. But I think Jake Wise stood out this week. I think you can see how crafty he can be as a center, and how skilled he is. And it's weird because a year ago I think the forward group was so talented and you knew all those guys were so good, and this year it's the opposite. You have so many defensemen I think have NHL potential, and you know, certainly guys that have top four potential, and then even a lot of guys that probably fit just an NHL roster. But and I was thinking about the forwards today, and I talked to Mark Kelly about it briefly, was that two of their best forwards haven't been to this camp because they're the two Russian guys, Kayumov and then Alti. I pretend like I knew what I was saying there. But it's probably two of their best forward prospects and two guys that can't attend here. So I think that changes what the forwards look like. But I don't know. What do you think of Boqvist and the guys?
I guess I'm looking at the defense, and I got the roster in front of me, and I keep looking at the names, and I'm like, oh yeah, like all of these guys are going to be in the mix for either Rockford after this season and next year, or, you know, have the potential to make the NHL. I guess what my biggest thing is, like Beaudin, Boqvist, like what are all these guys' timelines? Like, how do you break them all? Because I could see Boqvist signing after this season. Gilbert's going to be in Rockford. Hillman's obviously had experience. Chad Chris could sign after this year. Same with Ian Mitchell.
Well, I think Beaudin's coach, when I talked to him, said if he's back again next year, I'd be surprised. So
yeah,
it's all those guys turning. And then it's guys like Jacob Gelvis and Roope Laivanen, and the guys that we don't talk about as much, but they're playing professional hockey overseas in Europe, and they're all – and Gelvis played for the Czech Republic national team, and Roope's been in discussion for Finland's, you know, World Junior team, and even like Jake Massey, guys like that. The guys that maybe aren't as skilled or thought of as highly as the other guys, but guys that are like Josh S. I think just was named to one of the U.S. team. Yeah, so, I mean, guys that have shown potential. So, yeah, it's interesting because I don't know how it all fits together. And even this year, going into Rockford, it's going to be guys that return like Dahlstrom and Norell and Snuggerud and Forsling. And then you also bring in Gilbert and Tolola and Lucas Carlson. I'm sure I'm missing some guys there too. And Blake Hillman. You go up and down the line, and there's so many. You don't know how they fit in or how it's all going to play out. You also don't want to, with defensemen, I don't think you want to have the window so short that you're not giving them fair evaluation. So I'm curious to see how all that plays out.
Right, and the problem with the Rockford guys too on defense is you can only start six. So who are you if you're healthy scratching them?
You probably don't want those guys playing in Indy as much, you know?
So I'm curious to see about.
Well, Ian Mitchell should sign next year.
I would be surprised if he didn't.
He's looked really good out here too.
Yeah, and I feel like they view him as a first round pick rather than Stan talks about him like he's a first rounder.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so with the forwards, Jake Wise is the guy that stood out to me. He had a nasty 3-on-3 goal yesterday, and then he almost followed that up with another nifty goal too. Another guy I'm curious, two guys. Evan Barrett and then Alex Fortin. Fortin obviously was the breakout star 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and he got hampered with injuries and things like that. So I'm curious. He was obviously undrafted. He's 21 years old now. Where do you see him fitting in?
When you look at this sort of setting, makes him pop, right? You know, he's very skilled. He can skate, and you can tell that he's an older guy. And he, at least in the drills, he's above and beyond some of these other prospects. And there's reasons why that what he did with the Blackhawks at training camp 2 years ago wasn't a fluke. I mean, he has skill and he has a lot of speed. And, I think last year was difficult because of the injuries and then just facing some adversity for the first time. And I think added it all up, and it was a tough year for him. So I think this year he comes back, he's healthy. He talks about all the positives that he took from that experience last year. And he's still working with, Jeremy Colleton and the coaches there. So I think he was still learning off the ice. So, he's certainly one of the guys that I think – the fact that he's here now and, putting in the time and work. And they had most of the Rockford guys didn't come because of the long season. So the fact that he's putting in the time, and I think he's motivated and he understands that this next year has to be so big for him. So he's one of the guys I'm curious to see how he kind of evolves this next season.
I think the one guy I'm most curious about is Jakob Nilsson. He's the oldest guy here at camp, and he turns 25 in October. I talked to him a little bit downstairs, and I think I'm curious to see about him because he is the oldest guy here, and he's might be the most NHL ready because of that maturity factor and things like that. A big reason why he signed here is because he was coached by Colleton in Sweden, and I think his development down there. I could see him being one of the first call-ups from Rockford and getting that instant shot just because, it's a one-year deal. Like, he's not going to play in Rockford the entire year. Like, you're going to get him a shot here, and where would he – where would he fit in? Like, could he be a guy, could he be a mainstay where you just like, a surprise? We don't know from prospect camp.
I was surprised that Dominic Cahoon didn't show up just for that.
Yeah, is there a reason why? Or
no, I haven't heard. It was a long year for him, too, and he played in the World Championship, so it probably all dealt him. But for even Nielsen, it was the fact that he came here, I'm sure he didn't have to. I mean, he's an older guy. He did play in SHL last season, too. So.
Right.
I think it was important for him to get on the smaller ice and start working. And the fact that Colleton's here too, I'm sure all those things factored into it too. So, there's some interesting guys I think defensively and probably a few. There's so many forwards that aren't here that are under contract that are pretty young, but because they had such a deep run with the Ice Hogs that we aren't seeing them. So. I think, Highmore and Anthony Lewis and so many guys on that list, too, are kind of intriguing what they do in their second year as pro.
Right, yeah. So we'll get a better feel in September when training camp rolls around and the cuts are made, and we'll see where they spurs off to, and we'll see the development. But, Scott, that'll do it for us. Where can we follow your work, The Athletic?
Yep.
Do you got anything you're working on you want to plug?
No, just prospect stuff. I'll be kind of banking stories for next few weeks. So, it's The Athletic.
Awesome. You can follow him on Twitter @ByScottPowers, which I'm sure you already are. That'll do it for us. I'm Charlie Romeliotis and Scott Powers. Thanks for listening to the Hawks Talk Podcast. We'll catch you next time.